Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Mekamah Daf Ayin Ches. We will begin on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, the first words on Amud V'gabei Kachim. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had spoken about where Halacha includes Klayim, where the Halacha excludes Klayim. And the Torah Gedoisha, when it speaks about bringing Kabbonis, the Torah says, V'gabei Kachim Nami Gam Shorai Kesef, Shenat Yochalot Klayim B'neim. If you combine an axe and a sheep, you will not produce klayim. The animal will not get pregnant from there. So the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question is as follows. If the Torah would have just said, Shor Kesev Eiz, certainly what the Torah would have intended to do with that is to exclude klayim. Because since, as we just said, a Shor and Kesev together, axe and a sheep together cannot produce an animal, the Torah is teaching us that klayim are not able to be used for carbon. On the other hand, the Torah, even though we maybe could have included klayim from the extra A's, because kesev A's, we can't produce klayim, the Rishonim explained that when we have an option, the word shor and kesev come to exclude klayim. The word kesev and A's come to include klayim. The rule throughout halacha is that when we could be marba, when we could be machmer, or we could be mekel, we are always machmer. But now we have a new situation to deal with, because here the Torah added the word oy. So when the Torah uses that extra word, it should be coming to teach us that klayim can be used for carbon. Answers the Gemara, because the pasuk, as we explained in the previous shiur, the word oi that's stated at the end of the pasuk is certainly coming to be mat, because therefore the reisha nami, the reisha also, we're going to say that even though we just gave a good reason why to explain that the oi should come to include klayim, but since in the Sefer, we were speaking about animals that can be mated together, so if not for the word oi, we would have included klayim. But because the Torah uses the words at the end of the pasuk, the word at the oi at the end of the pasuk, we're excluding klayim. Says the Gemara, for consistency purposes, we say that that is the halacha at the beginning of the pasuk as well. Ask the Gemara, Adrabba, we can make a counter argument. Mid the racial rabbis, why don't we say that the Torah says a shor a kesev? When the Torah says shor a kesev, the sefer means when the Torah said kesev or a's. When the Torah said shor a kesev, which as we just said, that couldn't mean klayim because they can't produce an animal. So the a's, the oi, is coming to be marba klayim. So instead, sefer namil rabbis. So why don't we say that instead of saying that the reisha, the seif is mamat klayim, and therefore we'll say that the reisha is also mamat klayim, ask the Gemara, why don't we just say the opposite, that the reisha is marba klayim, and just like the reisha is marba klayim, so too will the seifa be marba klayim. Answers the Gemara, hi mai, that doesn't work. Yeah, b'shlam lamat, if we'll say that the oi in the pasuk is always coming to exclude. So now we can understand who the Yitzchuk Trei Miutei, what the Torah had to say it twice. Da'afagav dimat klayim, that even though klayim have been excluded, Yitzchuk Lemiutei Nidma, as we spoke in our previous year, a nidma is an animal that was born, a nidma is an animal that was born from two different species, but it was born from two of the same species, but it doesn't look like those species. The Torah is saying that it's also excluded from being a carbon. Davgav dimat klayim, and the Torah is teaching us that even though klayim are excluded, it's tzrichlimutei nidma, for as all the Rishonim explain, it's much more understandable that klayim, which involved, as we've been learning, an avera should be excluded, versus saying that nidma should be excluded. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say that the purpose of this pasuk is l'rabbis, to include, so now we have an obvious question. Trei ribuy lamali. If we're going to say that the two ribuyim in the pasuk, one ribuy in the pasuk is coming to teach us the halacha of klayim, and one ribuy in the pasuk is coming to teach us the halacha of nidma, the question is obvious. Once klayim are included, which, as we said, klayim involves an aveira, taking two different species. Hash the klayim ribuy, if when klayim are included, nidma, which, as we just explained, there is no aveira. There weren't two different types of animals that were mixed together. Certainly, the halacha ought to be that they're included. So we wouldn't have a way of understanding the pasuk. Ask the Gemara, El Hadam Rava. So now ask the Gemara a different question. El Hadam Rava. Rava taught us. Zeb ne'av. Kamakum shneim seh. Wherever Torah used the word seh, ein alahaytzi as a klayim, it's coming to exclude when the Torah tells us to use a seh. We may not use klayim. Ask the Gemara, lamai hilchasa, what is the Torah trying to accomplish with this? What will Rava say is the Torah coming to accomplish with this? E kachim, that Torah is coming to teach us that you can't use klayim for carbon. That we already know. The Hedik Sibu, the Torah says, Sha'a Kesef, Prat L'Klayim. So we don't have to learn from this word, Seh, that Klayim may not be used for carbon. The Torah is already quite clear in teaching us that Klayim may not be used for carbon. Vi L'Masa. We know that every year that we have to take off Maisa, we have to take off every year Maisa Behema. And the Torah says that you take off Maisa Behema from all the same type of animals. We bring them all together, and every 10th animal is identified as the Maisa Behema animal, and the Klayim, the halacha is not included in that. And says the Gemara, we don't need to have a special limud based on the word seh to teach us that halacha. Why? Because the pasuk says, by Maiser, v'kal mas bok v'tzoyin kol ha'shiyah v'takas shevet ha'siri yekodesh l'ashem. Tzoyin is included in seh, so tachas yalf mekotchim. But we learn the halacha meiser because the Torah says by meiser kol shiava tachas shevet. By kotchim, the Torah says vayishivus yomam tachas imoy. So since, as we've just been learning, that by klayim they've been excluded, so too by kotchim they've been excluded, so too shall obviously be the halacha by Maisa Behema. So we don't need to have what Rava said as the source for that halacha. Ibchor, to teach us that a bechor of klayim, the halachas of bechor don't apply by klayim, ask the Gemara for that too. We don't need a special limud. Because havor havara, yal for maisa. All the halachas that apply by bechor are learned from maisa. Because the Torah by bechor says, vavarta kopeta rechem Hashem. And the Torah by Maisa says, V'kol ha-shiyavar tachas ha-shevet. So we have that word havara. So from here we learn that the two halachas always travel together. If they always travel together, then we don't need a special pasuk to eliminate klayim from bechor. Inami, there's another way to know that the halacha bechor does imply by klayim, because nidma, if an animal that doesn't look like its parent, if an animal doesn't look like its parent, amrit loy, the halacha is that it's not subject to hilchas bechor, the ksiv, because the Torah in the parashas bechor says, ach bechor shor, and we learn from there, achehu shor or bechor shor, the parent and the child have to look the same. So klayim, which, as we explained earlier in our shiur, is much more of an isser. So if nidmer is disqualified, klayim are certainly disqualified. So the achronim ask, as our gemara is attempting to understand for what halacha is this binyan av required? There's a much more fundamental shaila that they say we ought to be addressing. And that is that they suggest the why do we need all these psukim to teach us by Bechor and by Maisa Behema, Klaim are excluded. Why can't we just rely on the Binyan Av? So they answer, if the Torah would have written extra words in any of these places, then we could have said that once the Torah said these extra words, we could learn the halach from the extra words. And that it would be a great question, why was it necessary for the Torah to teach us this halachas specifically by all these applications? The Torah hasn't really taught us extra words, and therefore that question doesn't stand, says the Gemara al Kiyatna Rava, regarding what subject was Rava's halacha said, Linya Petach Hamor. The halacha is that the Bechor of a Hamor has to be redeemed with a sheep and be given to a Kohen. And from here, the fact that the Torah says that a seh should be used for that redemption, the Torah says, V'chor petach amor tifta b'seh, U'kiritan, and the Mishnah Masech, the Bechoris, the Yud Beis, and Aleph teaches us, Ein, Poydin, we can't use loy be'egel, we can't use a calf to do that redemption, because the Torah says seh. V'loy b'chaya, we may not use an animal that's in the category of a chaya. Even if we have a seh, the halacha is that we're not allowed to use an animal. We're not allowed to use the seh when it's not alive. V'lei b'treifa, if the seh has a defect in it that would cause it to become a treifa. V'lei b'treifa, v'lei b'klayim, v'lei b'koy. Koy is a chaya, is an animal that's born from a cross of behema and a chaya. And throughout Shas, a koi is identified as the animal that there's a suffix if that animal is a behema or if that animal is a behema or a chaya. Ask the Gemara, Ulrevelezer the Mata Klaim, but according to Ulrevelezer that holds that Klaim can be used for Pinyan Petach Hamor. The Tanan, because the Mishnah over there teaches us, Ulrevelezer Mata B'Klaim, Neshuseh, as long as the animals fall into the seh family, they can be used for pinyan petach hamor. We're back to our original question, lamai hilchasa, what is the purpose of the binyan av that Rava taught us? Answers the Gemara, Amlach Rabbi Lazar, ki itmer de Rava, regarding what halacha was Rava's application taught, latamei shnoel minatar, vibure minatamei. If you have a animal whose mother is a cow, father is a horse, or you have a animal whose father is a chazir and his mother is a sheep, and the halacha is that that animal is considered a behemah tameya and it's also bachila. And the Torah is teaching us that even though the mother of this animal is a kosher animal, still, since the Torah says, so we learn from the word seh that if the father is tamei, the child is tamei and may not be eaten. This says the Gemara, and that's where Rabbi Lazar teaches us this halacha. And furthermore, says the Gemara, this halacha is not consistent, the like of Yeshua, it's not consistent with the opinion of Yeshua. Dear Rabbi Yeshua, because says the Gemara, if we want to understand the opinion of Yeshua, he says, "Mesek sovim say izim nafkalei." The Torah says, "Mesek sovim say izim." Loshim rabim ikvasim and izim. Says the one actually oviv kasev kavas v'ima kisa. Only if both parents are a kosher animal. Ask the Gemara. So we just learned that if a kosher animal, a non-kosher animal, mated, the child that's produced may not be eaten. But ask the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, is it possible for them to produce a child? Answers the Gemara, the halacha is in. There is a case where a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal can mate. Because, explains the Gemara, in Masecht B'chayris, Dav Zayin Amon Aleph, we encounter machlokes of Shimon and Yeshua by an animal that both parents are kosher animals, but the child produced does not have the simonim of a kosher animal. For example, we know that a kosher animal has to have split hooves. It doesn't have split hooves. According to Rav Shimon, such an animal may not be eaten. Rav Shua says, since it still has one of the simonim of a kosher animal, it may be eaten. And that's exactly what we're referring to here. The kaimelon, the erber mekolot, that let's say we know that the mother of this animal was a kosher animal, but the father of this animal did not have split hooves, which is a siman of a non-kosher animal, and therefore he only had one of the simonim of a kosher animal, and this baby, this animal that was born, teaches us Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua may not be eaten, and why it's called Tameya, because it's Rabbi Shimon's opinion that it may not be eaten. So it's not because it's different type of animals, and therefore the question automatically comes up, if it's different types of animal, how could they have made it together? They're not different types of animals. They're the same type of animal, but even though they're the same type of animal, this animal, because it has the siman tumah, may not be eaten, according to Rav Shimon. By Rava. So now Rava asks a question. If somebody said, Harei Elai Oila, he took upon himself to bring a carbon oila, for hif for shor, and he designated an ox, which is the most expensive animal you could designate for that carbon. Oba acha v'gonav. And now somebody stole that ox, and now he wants to return the animal that he stole, the heshev hazegzela, as we often speak about. Mipot the gan of nafshe bekeves. Can he accomplish what he needs to accomplish by giving back a sheep, which is a much smaller and less expensive animal, the rabbanon, or can he give oilas oif, even less expensive, give a bird, Rabbi Elazar ben Amsaria, the Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Menachos Daf Kuvzayin Amud Aleph says, Harei ala oila. If somebody pledged to bring a carbon oila, the loch is Yavi Kovis. The minimum he has to bring is a sheep. Leza ben Azariah Omer, Yavi Tar ben Yonah, he can even bring a bird. So now what's the question here? Mai. What's going to be the halacha by the Ganif? Mi Amrinon, Shem Oila Kibul Alei, the person that he stole from accepted upon himself to bring a carbon oila. And therefore this Ganif is returning an animal that can be used for that purpose. Adolma Matzo Amalei, or perhaps an argument can be made that the owner could say, Ano mitzvah min amufcha bina lamevet. I wanted to do a mitzvah in the best fashion. I wanted to bring a big animal. I don't want to bring a sheep. I don't want to bring a bird. Says the Gemara, Basa Debaya, after this question was posed, says the Gemara, Hadapashta, the question was answered. Ganav pata atzma v'keves l'rabbanon, or ba'ayla sa'ayf l'rav lezma nazari. Then indeed, they could fulfill their obligation with bringing any animal that fulfills the pledge of the owner. Says the Gemara, Rav Acha b'rei d'Ravik masnul b'hedya, he taught it to us explicitly that Amar Rava, there wasn't a question and answer, but rather somebody says, Arei Elai Oila, he took upon himself an oil of Hifra Shar, and he designated an axe, an expensive animal, Uba Acha v'gunvoy, and now somebody came and stole that axe and he wants to return. According to Rabbanon, he could fulfill that obligation by just giving a sheep. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he could fulfill that obligation just by giving an oilus ha'oif. The Shaar HaMalach asks an interesting question. As we finish learning the Gemara, everybody agrees with Rava's psak, that you can fulfill your obligation, the ganav can fulfill his obligation by giving a sheep or a bird. So interestingly points out to Shaar HaMalach that the Rambam does not quote this halacha. And the question is, why does the Rambam ignore this halacha, specifically as our Gemara is teaching us everybody agrees with this halacha. So the Shaar HaMalach quotes a Ravid, who says, when Rava says that you could fulfill your payment with the less expensive animal, so Ravid says a very bechidish. That's only, we know that a ganav has two parts to his payment obligation. He has to pay back the keren, the principal, and the kefil. He says, when we're learning in the Gemara, that Rava says that you could fulfill your obligation with a less expensive animal, that's only to fulfill your kefil responsibility. However, says the Shaar HaMalach, Rava will agree that as far as your keren responsibility, then the halacha is that you don't have to pay, that you would have to pay what you stole. So says the Shaar HaMalach, since the Rambam paskens like the Chachamim, that somebody who steals a korban only pays keren, not like Rav Shimon, the paskin in the Gemara that we've learned, the Dovah Gorim L'mamen K'mamen Domi, and that even by a korban you have to pay kefil. So the only issue that's relevant according to the Rambam when somebody stole a korban is the keren. And now if we apply what the Raiva just taught us, that the Raiva just taught us that when you pay the keren, that isn't what Rav is speaking about. And even Rav will agree that the keren has to be paid according to what you stole. That's why the Rambam sees this halacha as irrelevant. So that is a very famous question that's brought up based on this Gemara. The Maramin discusses a question. If somebody stole a beautiful esrig, so can he fulfill his obligation to return by giving back any type of esrig? Because he could tell the person, I stole an esrig from you with which you cannot, I deprived you of the ability to do a mitzvah. I'm going to return the esrig, which is a kosher esrig, and now you'll be able to do the mitzvah. And he says the basis for this is our Gemara, that even though somebody stole an animal, which is a shor, which is a carbon, he can return an inexpensive bird or sheep. There are many that disagree with the Maram Mintz. Number one, we have the Shaar HaMalach. The Shaar HaMalach just said that the entire discussion that we're having in our Gemara is only regarding the kefil. But when we speak about the keren payment, everybody agrees, says the Shaar HaMalach, that on the keren you pay according to the value of what you stole. So when we're paying for Geneva Bezman Hazeh, we're certainly only paying for the keren, not for the kefil. And that's why, according to Shaar HaMalach, this entire discussion is somewhat irrelevant. The Chacham Tzvi has a different approach. The Chacham Tzvi's approach is that there's a difference between a carbon and an esrig. Once you amagdish an animal as a carbon, the animal becomes the property of Hegdish. The only use the owner has from that animal is to bring it as a carbon to fulfill his pledge. And Al Gemara has been teaching us that you fulfill your obligation by returning any animal which the owner could use as a carbon to fulfill his obligation. But when we speak about an esrig, the esrig remains the personal property of the owner. And therefore, you have to pay back an esrig. If somebody stole an esrig, Chas v'Shalom, he would have to pay the full market value of the esrig. I saw a similar question came up that somebody damaged somebody else's tefillin or somebody else's sefer Torah, and the tefillin, and he wants to return. So he says, I'll give you a pair of tefillin, which is kosher. I'll give you a sefer Torah, which is kosher. What will be the halacha? And the answer is really based on the machlokes that we just discussed. However, I saw another point, and that is there are certain things that don't really, that their value is not really determined by a financial value. A mitzvah is not, the way we look at a mitzvah is not to look at a mitzvah by its financial value. We look at a mitzvah with our ability to fulfill the mitzvah. If that's the way, say some paiskim, we look at a mitzvah, not at its financial value, but at our ability to fulfill the mitzvah, so then the halacha will be that as long as you give back a kosher esrig, or you give back a kosher sefer Torah, give back a kosher tefillin, it perhaps will be considered that you fulfilled your obligation. To you fulfilled your obligation, which again is another interesting question that the Chishuki Chemed develops again about the mitzvah and a mufchar. this person went and gave an axe, donated an axe, which is the best. And now what's happening is that he's going to end up, because this is what the ganef will return to him, giving a bird or a sheep. So he discusses a question where somebody accepts upon himself a job to be a Rebbe in a yeshiva. And then he took upon himself another job that every morning before he comes to yeshiva to teach his class, he has a different position. And now the question is that the administration of this yeshiva says, well, you took upon yourself a position. When we hired you with this position, we wanted you to be able to do the best for our children. And if you have another job before you come to yeshiva to teach the children, you're not going to be as fresh and as eager to teach properly. And the question is, what will be the halacha? So actually, there's a childhood tshuvas marsham, chelik beis simen resh tezvov. Again, about an individual who had taken a position to daven, meet about tefillah, for Musaf on the Yom HaNeroim. And then afterwards, he took upon himself the position to be about tefillah in another shul for Shacharis. And the people who had hired him to be about tefillah for Musaf says, well, you're not going to be able to do the job as well now, because once you daven Shacharis, you're going to be tired, your voice won't be as strong, and therefore they claim you're not allowed to take that job. And at first glance, he wants to compare it with our Gemara. In our Gemara, we learned that even though this person took upon himself to bring a carbon of an axe, the ganef could return it with a bird, with a sheep. Here too, as long as the Rebbe comes to teach every day, as long as the Baal Tefillah comes to teach every day, it should be the same. But then he says, you can't compare the two cases. Why can we not compare the two cases, he says? Because, as we've learned, when it comes to fulfill your pledge of bringing a carbon, all you need to do is fulfill your pledge. You took upon yourself, you're going to bring a carbon oiler. And as we quoted earlier in the shir, as long as you do what you were supposed to do, bring the carbon oiler that you were supposed to bring, you fulfilled your obligation, and you could fulfill it with a bird, you could fill it with a sheep. It doesn't have to be done with an axe. When we have, particularly when we speak about a Rebbe in a yeshiva, our expectation of a Rebbe is to do his job as best as possible. Since our expectation of the Rebbe in the yeshiva is to do his job as best as possible, and it's not like, well, as I brought the carbon. What's the difference? What type of animal I brought as a carbon? I brought the carbon, and that should be good enough. No, a Rebbe has to be able to give 100% to his class. And if the Rebbe can't give 100% to his class, then there's no point, then the whole job is not being done properly. And therefore, says the Chashukei Chemed, the comparison that the Gemara is attempting to make between a Rebbe, the comparison the Gemara is trying to make between the carbon and then we extended it to Sroigim and Sefer Torah, a Rebbe is not in the same qualification at all. Says the Mishnah, somebody stole an animal. And we've been speaking in our shurim about Tficha Mechira. So says the Gemara, Machra Chutz Me'ech Me'eshba. He sold the animal, leaving out 1%. Oy, Shehoyis Le'ba Shutvas. He was a partner in this animal. And so when he did the Tficha Mechira, he only was stealing the part that doesn't belong to him. The part that belongs to him, there's no issue. Or hashoichet v'nisnabla b'yodai. Or somebody shechs an animal and it became a nevela. So, and therefore, since it became a nevela, it may not be eaten. From here we see, say the achroinim, that a gira nosha is not osa b'hano. For if a gira nosha or osa b'hano, every time you have an animal, it's not 100% edible. You always have the gira nosha, which is osa b'hano. So from here, some achroinim want to say that the gira nosha is not osa b'hano. However, the Or Samech wants to suggest that two reasons why that is not a compelling proof. One reason the Or Sameach says is that the Mechira isn't on the Gidah Nosha. Because if we'll say that Gidah Nosha is Asaba No, so then you didn't really steal anything from the owner. You could only be considered that you stole something if it has value to the owner. If we're going to say that the Gidah Nosha is Asaba No, so it has no value, so that wasn't included in what you stole. That's one explanation that Or Sameach gives why it's not a proof that a Gidah Nosha is not Asaba No. Another proof is that it only becomes Asa Bahano. Another point that he tries to say is that it only becomes Asa Bahano after the Geneva. Therefore, when he did the Geneva, the Geneva, the Tficha Mechira, included the Gidah Nosha. So Hashoich and the Snaba B'yadoi, Hanoichar, that somebody just ripped the animal. The Ma'akar, somebody just ripped out the simonim. We know that the proper way of doing shechita is by shechting the two simonim, the kana veshut. What this person did was he just ripped them. In all these cases, b'sham tashlumi kefil, the kefil payment still applies, but the halacha is that ein b'sham tashlumi arba v'chamisha. And even the rabbanon, we've been having in our perek over and over again, the machloikus rabbanon of Shimon, if you chayiv dal v'hei for shechita she'en aruya, will agree that there's a difference between a shechita she'en aruya versus these cases. In a shechita she'en aruya, the shechita was a proper shechita. There was an external reason that disqualified the animal. But in a case where the shechita was not a proper shechita in the first place, all the various examples that we just gave, so that's not considered a valid cheshchita, and since it's not considered a valid cheshchita, even the rabbanim will agree that you won't be chayv dal vehei. Ask the Gemara, my chutz mi echem meishabai. What was meant that you sold it with excluding 1%? So Amar Rav, chutz mi dava anitim meishchita. If you left over a part that this, of the animal that needs cheshchita, and you didn't sell it, then you won't be chayv dal vehei. But if what you excluded from the sale or from the shechita was a part that doesn't need shechita, the hair, the leather, the levi amar chutz migzusel, you left over the wool, the chen tanya minasnisa chutz migzusel. Meisvei asked the question, asked the gemara from a brisa on the opinion of Rav. The brisa says machr chutz miyada or chutz miragla. If you sold it excluding the foot or the hand, chutz mikarna, it's horn, chutz mikizusel, it's wool, ain't a mishal tashlumei eber chamisha. We don't pay davar chamisha. Rebbe's opinion is, davar amaka b'shechita, the part of the animal which requires the shechita. That means if this part was missing while the animal was alive, shechita would not help have it, because the animal would be an avela. But if that even if the animal was missing this part, the shechita could be good. The shechita could be a good shechita. Then the halacha is misham tashlumei abav chamisha. Then you will have to pay davar chamisha. So the simple way of understanding this gemara is that if you sold it without the kana veshut, so then it's not good shechita, because the shechita means selling the kana veshut. Otherwise, it's okay. If you sold the animal without the horns, it's still considered a case of Arba Chamisha. But if you sold it without the wool, then Misham Tashlumei Arba Chamisha. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Levi, Levi's opinion can be reconciled with the Braisa, because Levi's going to hold like the Tanakama, that even if you sold it without the horns or the wool, it's considered not properly sold. Ella Rav, but according to Rav, whose opinion does Rav follow? According to the Tanakhama, according to Rav, the wool is would not affect the mechira, but Rebbe says that the wool will affect the mechira. According to Rebbe, even if you left out your hand, the hand which is needs the shechita, that won't affect the mechira. According to Shimon Lazar, even the horn is a shear. So, and Rav says it's not, because it doesn't need shechita. So what is, whose opinion is Rav following? Amr, and to the Gemara, Rav Damakei Tana. Rav is following this Tana. The Tanya of Shimon Lazar, Amr, Machr Chutz Miyadav Chutz Miragla. If he sold the animal, excluding the hand or the foot, Ein Mishalim Tashlumei Berech HaMesha. Chutz Mikarno, Chutz Miyadav So this is exactly what Rav said. If it's something that needs shechita, it will be something that won't be a good mechira. Otherwise, it will. Says Mike, what is the basis of their machloikus? Tanakama sover. The Tanakama says, the pasuk says, kignush ish shor aseh v'tofchei mecharoi v'tofchei kulabinen. If you sold it entirely, machre kulabinen, and only then you'll be chayiv. And anything that you exclude is not considered anymore tficha mechira. Rebbe Sover, with tafcha, the Torah puts together tficha mechira, midah dehava betficha. Only a part of the animal that shechita helps them. Lafuki midah dehava betficha. The parts of the animal that don't need shechita, that means if the animal were missing these limbs, the animal wouldn't become a nevela. And if the animal wouldn't therefore become an avela, so we see the shechita is not essential to those parts of the animal, that's why it's not considered a shear. And that's why, as Rashi points out, there's certain limbs in the animal that even if they're missing, that animal doesn't become an avela. The machray, and the machray is dumi the tficha, they travel together. The horn of the animal, which is not usually detached, have a shear. If you didn't sell it, it's not considered that you properly sold the animal to be chayv dal vehei. Ve'ed misham tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Gizaseh del migas kaimi. The wool is typically shorn. It's typically cut off. Lo have a shear. So leaving that out from the sale is not considered that you didn't sell the animal properly. And therefore misham tashlumei arba v'chamisha. V'idach tana debay rishman belazer. The other version of Rav Shimon Elazar that we've learned in our shear. If we want to be able to eat the yod of a ragl of the animal, even if they're missing and the animal won't become an avela, we can't eat the yod of a ragl of an animal without shechita. That's why it's a shear. If the animal was sold without including those parts, the halacha will be lemisham teshlumei arba v'chamisha. However, kind of because it said lo tzricha tficha, they don't need shechita at all. So it's leaving them out from the mechira, lo have a shear. But ask the Gemara, we've learned two different versions of what Rav Shimon Elazar holds. Ask the Gemara, kash Rav Shimon Elazar, Rav Shimon Elazar. Answers the Gemara, trei tanoi v'liv Rav Shimon Elazar, machlok tanoi what Rav Shimon Elazar held. Tana bonim, hagonav kitas, if you stole an animal that's missing a hand or a foot, and then you did tficha mechira, v'sechigeris, an animal that limps, that's a suma, an animal that's blind. Or somebody stole something, chayiv, he's going to be chayiv, dal v'hei. However, says the Gemara, if shutfim stole an animal together, then going to be pturim. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya shutfim shiganvu, haven't we learned another braisa that shutfim steal an animal together, chayovim they are chayv dal v'hei? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Lekasha, there is no stira. Kan, the braisa that says the potter, it was shutf shiganim mechaveroi, you have two partners in an animal, and one partner stole the part that belongs to the other partner, so therefore the entire act was not done by geneva, only the part that belongs to his partner. That's why you're not chayv dal v'hei. The kan, the brayse that says yichayovim, but shutuf shigonim alma. You have two partners that stole an animal together that belong to a third individual. And then the halacha will be that not only will they be chayv kefil for that act of geneva, they're going to be chayv dal v'hei if they did tficha mechira. Esrei Rav Rav Nachman. The brayse says, yochu shutuf shigonim mechaveroi. The shutfim shagonvu yechayovim tamalayim v'tofch that you only chayiv kul bein leko. So here we see that whether it was a partner who stole from his partner or two partners that stole together, the halacha is that you're not chayiv dal v'hei in either situation. Not like the Gemara just suggested, that only if you stole an animal from a partner will you not be chayiv dal v'hei, but if two partners stole together, they will be chayiv dal v'hei. El Amar Rav Nachman, so we have to reconcile the brises differently. El Amar Rav Nachman l'kasha, kan shetuf shetuf das chaveroi, that two shutfim stolen, two partners stole an animal together, and then one partner slaughtered the entire animal with the other partner's consent. So he became a shliach for that partner. And that's why it's considered as if they both stole the animal. Here, b'shutuf shetovach shlo das chaveroi, that they stole the animal together, but he didn't, shecht it or sell it with the partner's consent. Boy Rav Yirmiyah, Machr chutz m'shloshim yoyim. If somebody stole an animal, he sold it, but he kept right to the animal for 30 days. And then only will the buyer receive the animal. Or he sold it chutz m'malachta, that if the buyer wants to shecht, he could shecht it, but as till he does so, the seller keeps the animal. Or chutz m'abra, he sold it without a fetus that it's carrying. Mahu, is it considered a proper mechira for which you chayv dalvehei or not? Says the Gemara, leave the man d'omer. There's a machlokes throughout Shas. How does the halacha look at a fetus in its mother's womb? So says the Gemara, leave the man d'omer uba yerech imayhu loytabayachloch. It's part of its mother. And the Shaiba, we've been learning, if you didn't sell the entire animal, it's not a mechira. Ki debayachloch, leave the man d'omer uba lav yerech imay. My, I'm reading Kivan the Mechubaba, it's since it's connected, even though it's not considered an integral part of the mother, it's enough to be a shear. Uduma, Kivan the Mefesh Menekai, the fetus will be delivered and separated from the mother. That's why it's not considered an inherent part of the mother. And if it was the mother was sold without that part, lo have a shear, and it's a mechir for Dalvehei. But then the Gemara gives an ikadamri. If we say that the fetus halachically is not considered part of the mother, the halacha is that if you shecht a mother that's carrying a baby, the shechita of the mother is effective for the baby as well. And therefore, even though the baby halachically, but since the shechita of the mother positively affects the child, it's going to be considered commander shai begufa dummy, as if you didn't sell the, you didn't shecht the entire mother. And the Gemara leaves it with a teiku. By Rab Papa, Gunva, if somebody stole an animal, kata, and then he took off the foot, and makra, and he sold the animal, mahu, what will be the halacha? Mi aminin, may the gunva loizavin. What he stole, he didn't sell, because he stole a whole animal, and now he's selling an animal that's missing a leg. Adilma, Madazovin, when he sold everything that he's holding on to. So maybe it doesn't look like what he stole, but it's everything that he has he sold, and therefore it's not considered a shear. And the Gemara remains with a teiku. So we're discussing here if something is missing, what's considered a shear? And one of the halacha that the Paiskim discuss is that we know on Shabbos we have to cut the challah, we have to cut Lecha Mishnah. And the question is, if we have a challah that's brought to us that's not complete, it's missing a part, can it be used for Lecha Mishnah? So the Netziv has a very interesting approach to that shaila. The Netziv's approach is that if when that challah was brought to us, that's the way this challah looks, there's no problem. But if when it was brought to us, it's missing part of it, lost part of the challah, it would be a problem. And he says, the Rai is from our Gemara. If somebody has an animal and he didn't sell its entirety, then the halacha is that maybe it's not considered a valid sale. Because I did not sell the entire animal. But if I have an animal that when I stole it, it was missing part of its leg, and that's what I stole, and that's what I sold, so that's considered a whole animal. And that's why he writes there that there were people who had a problem getting Lechem Mishnah, and they were able to fulfill the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah when they were brought such a challah that isn't complete. And the Michas Yitzchak discusses the shaila as well. Chelik Yud Simen Chaf Dalet. He says, if somebody doesn't have a whole challah to make Lechem Mishnah, what should be brought to him is two complete halves. That's what he has. And each half is whole. That's how he received it. And maybe that's the way he can fulfill the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah when he has no other choice.